Hey there, beautiful people. Welcome to Fans Hide the Pockets for all those complex and complicated conversations about the gray areas in our lives. I am journalist and editor Travel Anderson.
And I am just glad to be in the service one more time with my wig on inadvertently backwards. We've got a big show for you this week. We actually are going to spend the entire show talking about this one topic. It's a woman that you may or may not have heard of named Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj. We had such a great conversation that we decided to extend it out through the entirety of the episode. And so we're going to get right into it.
But we should say first that we do talk and reference sexual assault. And so for those folks who need to pass this episode, you can go on and do that.
All right. So the very disputed queen of rap has been making headlines that are both frustrating and low-key entertaining and annoying, which, to be honest, that's just on brand. Onika has never been a stranger to controversy, but the latest round of fuckery has been a uniquely troubling one. From marrying a man with a history of sexual assault to a lawsuit against the two of them alleging they have harassed the woman he assaulted. Then, most recently, Nicki's come out as sort of an anti-vaxxer, but not really. We'll get into that. Nicki's had a storied career, been named one of rap's biggest talents, and has traveled the world as a true superstar. She's won awards on awards, notably no Grammys, but has been nominated many times. She's gorgeous. She's a Kiki. She's entertaining out the wazoo, but we remain rather fanti on this pink princess. The music is giving what it needs to give. We live for she, so we don't need to dwell there for too long, but we're going to touch on it. We wanted to bring in an expert opinion to help us discuss the one, the only Nicki Minaj. So we've brought in a friend of the show, music journalist and writer of the new piece called Nicki the Menace. Garrett Kennedy, welcome back to Fanti.
Thank you all for having me again.
Absolutely. Hi, Garrett. So, I kind of want to get a feel for, like, y'all's backgrounds with Nicki. What, Travel, I'll have you go first. What has been, like, your history with Nicki Minaj?
Oh, my history with Nicki. I think I have to go back to Itty Bitty Piggy was a formative track for me and my time at Morehouse College. And from there, it kept rising. I'm a big fan of Pink Friday. You know, used to have that on a loop, honey. And then The Pink Print, I believe, came after Pink Friday at some point. Nicki's one of those rappers who, like, kind of went very hard into, like, the bubblegum pop era of it all. Mm-hmm. And that's where she lost me just a little bit. And so, okay, like, I haven't listened to, I feel like, her newest music in a minute.
Heard Chun-Li, where we're all making her the bad guy?
I have heard it, but I have not played it. Okay. And so yeah, I think my history with Nicki in particular is one that is, let's say, ever evolving. Okay. I'll go with that.
Garrick, talk to me about your history, your relationship with Onika.
I think she's one of the most talented rappers that we have ever seen. I have been really fortunate to cover many years of her career from the beginning. That includes, you know, ups and downs and everything in between. So she's always been somebody who is compelling. I haven't always liked the music, but that's neither here nor there, because I think what's so special about Nicki is how talented she is and, you know, what she's done in terms of ground that she's broken. You know, these are things that can't ever really be challenged. And so that's why it's very unfortunate where we've arrived to the place where it's like you can't even have any real authentic conversation of her that is any level of critical, like, at all, because she is someone who cannot handle criticism, and she has a fan base that will not allow criticism to exist in any space. It has to be worship at all times, and if it's not worship, it's immediate death threats. It's immediate, let's find that one time you tweeted the thing that she liked, and so let's talk about how big of a fan you are, and just this whole culture that she seems to almost really enjoy, which is these really young people on the internet who believes that she is the most perfect person on the planet, and anything that is not full worship of that deserves to be taken down, and it doesn't matter who it is.
That felt very personal. I've read your piece that you wrote, and I know that you've had a good amount of analysis on the Barbs themselves. I'll say for myself, Nicki has just always been like one of those artists that I've been thoroughly entertained by just about everything that she does. Nicki Minaj is one of those few people who, if I hear she's going to be on a talk show, I'm going to watch it, because she's always funny. She always looks amazing. There's always going to be a fun little something that I'll enjoy in it. But like the way that I remember Nicki in the beginning was like being featured on every song. She had a feature everywhere you looked, and I was loving every single time she would come out. And then there was all this anticipation about an album from her. And I just loved all of like the little clever ways that she would use language and even like, you know, audible punctuation, if you will. Right. I just always thought she was so interesting with the way that she used words. And I'm always, you know, really loving wordplay. And I just thought she was so brilliant in that way. And then she's gorgeous and like funny and has this crazy personality and characters, and then it starts to like turn right into the place that you talked about, Garrick, where we're like, what is with this fandom? What is with this infallible nature kind of thing that we can't ever seem to get by? And so it's been interesting in that way to kind of watch her evolve. And I have some thoughts about that that we'll get into a little bit later.
Let's start by saying that for our conversation, we've got these three top line topics, like sections that we're going to go through. First, we're going to delve a little bit more deeper into the music, into Nicki as an artist, her role in the industry. Then we're going to talk about this little COVID moment situation, and then we'll talk about the harassment, the sexual assault case that her husband pled guilty to, and all of that. So, Jared, you were just talking about the music and what you loved in those earlier years, and maybe even now, of what she did. One thing I've been thinking about a lot is when Nicki was doing Nicki at the beginning of her career with Pink Friday, with the Pink Print. I feel like an album was called Roman Reloaded or something like that. I might be making that up.
The second Pink Friday.
There we go. Yeah. And like, I think you're right, Jared, that right. She was featured on every song, and she had the best verse on those songs, right? Yes. She's on songs with Kanye and Jay-Z, and like, it's her verse that like folks are screaming about. And for me, the track that I hold very deeply is Moment for Life. Particularly before Drake starts talking. I could do it without that part of the song. But that first part, honey.
Come on with this light skin erasure. You know I'm not here for the bullshit, okay?
You'll be all right.
We've been through as a people.
But that first verse that starts the songs, I fly with the stars in the sky.
I am no longer trying to survive. I believe that life is a prize, but to live doesn't mean you're alive. Don't worry about me and who I fire. I get what I desire. It's my empire. And yes, I call the shots. I am the umpire.
Okay. Listen, come on.
I'm not even going to go deep
church.
Into it. It is church.
It's church.
It is exactly church. She was doing something on a level that no one else at that time period was doing it. And I felt like she was also very reminiscent for all of the folks who like the older school hip hop women, whether that's Kim, whether that's Foxy, etc. And so like, that's what I think of when I think about like her as a musician, as an artist. Garrick, you spoke a little bit about the music specifically. You called her one of the best rappers that there is out there. Talk to us a little bit more about Nicki Minaj, the musician, the artist.
The thing that has been both sort of her greatest asset, but also, in my humble opinion, the thing that has held her back a little bit in terms of the cultural conversation. And Travelle, you just mentioned it so well, like what we loved about Nicki, what we love about Nicki is the fact that she is a student of the craft, first and foremost.
Yes.
And she has gone to such great lengths to preserve what the culture of hip hop is, which, yes, it's writing your own verses. It's these things that we revere and we respect, but we don't have a real relationship with it that has shifted any, despite the fact that the industry has shifted to a different place. And so, you know, I talk about it as a detriment. You know, I think the last, you know, the last 5 or 6 years of Nicki's presence as an artist is really complicated with this idea that both she and her fans have played into, which is I can be the only person, I can be the only woman. And no matter how many of her barbs are going to say, well, she did this song with this or this or this or this person, it's like, yes, but it always felt strategic. It never felt authentic. It never felt genuine. It only felt like she only ever wanted to work with the people who talked about her greatness and not, for instance, well, let me just work with these people because they're current, which is what a lot of rap is today. People jump on everybody's tracks. So much of what we talk about with her, particularly as it relates to like her early run, is the fact that, like, yes, because Nicki was the only woman for so long, she was able to hold court in a particular kind of way. And once that was challenged by a new set of people, it became this thing where it's almost like, let's tear them all down and let's remind everybody that, you know, well, she's the only one writing these things and these people are not. And that is true. But also something that is often forgotten is the general consumer who might not necessarily be a rap head doesn't actually give a fuck who's writing these songs. And that part gets really lost. And so, like, yes, most people who just listen to music or have some kind of small attachment of, you know, what's happening in hip hop, but may not necessarily be invested in it, they didn't care that Cardi didn't write every single track by herself on Invasion of Privacy. They just heard a whole album of bops top to bottom. So it was like, okay, bops. What's the problem? Yeah. You know, no one is really caring or questioning who Doja Cat is working with. Like, no one's having that conversation, but nobody's saying, oh, well, she's not doing this all herself. You know, and it's like, I don't think there's, I say all that to say that I understand why so many people hold on to that. And like, yes, it's going to always be something that you can never take away from Nicki, period. But what you also can say is like, it's been a long time since Nicki's had a classic album. It's been a long time since Nicki has put out records that like has really moved the masses in a particular kind of way. Yeah, I'm the first to tell you, like, Seeing Green was probably one of the best rap songs that came out. You know, yes, sure, I give you that. But doesn't change the fact that your work has been uneven for years. And that's part of why there's now some of this discourse that has become blown to something else. I think of this moment some years back when the Queen album, when that came out, somewhere close by, it was that area of time for her. And this writer, Juana Thompson, she tweeted this thing about how, I'm just not really feeling the music because I wanted it to be more mature, or I thought Nicki might be rapping about something else. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very fair assessment that somebody who's following the music is going to say. The same way there's 100 think pieces about how Drake has made the same album over and over and over. But the difference is these are artists who can hear that and probably don't care, or maybe they do care, but what they're definitely not doing, which Nicki will do, is hop in your DMs and talk about how you're fucking ugly and how you wish that you were her and how you wish that you had a better man and how you wish that you had a bigger bag or that you had better hair or whatever. And it's this like petty shit that she does where it's like, let me like try to tear you down. And then once it's now thrown out to the internet, all of my fans are going to do the same thing. So they all pedal on this idea of just beating down anybody that has a single critical thing to say. And it takes us away from having a real conversation of, yes, this is a great, brilliant artist who doesn't always really put out the greatest music. I don't subscribe to the fact that people should be harder on her because she's a woman, which is something that I do believe happens as it relates to Nicki, which is probably something that does set her off, is like, yeah, you only doing this shit to me, but you're not doing this to these dudes who are also kind of putting out like not great stuff, but y'all still stream it, y'all still whatever. So I do realize, you know, I think about the fact that Nicki has taken a lot of hits publicly as it relates to her music, as it relates to when she thinks outside of traditional hip hop. And so she'll make, a record that is light, or make a record that is straight ahead dance pop. And like the way that she has been talked about for doing that. I mean, we'll never forget when they went on the Summer Jam stage and was like, nah, that super bass shit is not going to work here. Mm-hmm. And it sucks mm-hmm. because it's like, oh, well, that's one of her best songs. It's a fantastic song. But also she's rapping her ass off on that song. So what is it that you're saying? So there's all this gatekeeping that happens, which I'm not the biggest fan of as it relates to hip hop, but that's part of the culture. And so to see someone who has pushed back against that for as long as she has, I do recognize a lot of what Nicki does and what she says and why she says it. Mm-hmm. That said, it doesn't leave much space for us to then have a real honest conversation about like, yeah, you are one of the greatest, but these albums haven't been hitting for a minute at all. And you can also then look at the fact that no matter what your fans online are saying, they're not buying that shit. They're not streaming Period. That shit because the numbers would be different. So you kind of can't tell us that we're wrong in saying these things, which, yes, some of the criticism is wrong of her, but also because this is a culture that y'all care so much about what something is on the charts. And she's an artist who cares so fucking deeply to the point where she will have full meltdowns or accuse people of payola or accuse folks of all these other things that she has probably benefited from at some point, but is no mm-hmm. longer sticking. So now it's like everybody's cheating. And it's just like it becomes this thing where we've been having the same conversation about Nicki for about 5 or 6 or more years now.
Yeah.
And it's not allowed to exist because anybody who is saying anything critical, well, you're a hater, or all you're this, or all you're that, or all you're this. And it's just like, you know, you have these 16-year-olds or whatever age these sad people are online that spend their whole day looking for any mention of her name and is going to just light you the fuck up. And it's like, yes, sure, you can call me fat all day, but the fact of the matter is the shit ain't been hot for a minute, so what are we going to say?
And the facts are the facts.
Listen, what else am I supposed to say? That was so perfect. Garrick, you ate that, sis. It was perfect.
It's hard because it's somebody, she's so great, but we do not have this conversation publicly. We don't. And it's hard when it's an industry where it's so many cis heterosexual men where it's like, if they want to say something, it's always curbed in this other thing about like, well, she's still the baddest or she's still the... And it's like, sure, but also like, come on. Like, you know, like let's have like real authentic conversations around people who are our leaders. Mm-hmm. When has there been another run like Nicki had in 2010 to 11, 12, 13. Man, female. Yeah. No one has done that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
And so there are moments of like, yes, I understand what it must look like to be the artist who did those things and then to like not be awarded Grammys, to not have all these number ones and all these things that she cares so deeply about, which she has every right to. As artists, y'all have every right to care about the things you care about. The same way your fan base have every right to care about those things for you and want to fight those things for you. But to actively not want to engage any level of criticism for as long as it has happened has just kind of become ridiculous at a certain yeah. point.
The only thing I could add to this, because again, Garrick just delivered us a rhema word, that was like perfection. The only other thing that I've really would want to add is that the challenge that I've had with modern Nicki is that like none of it feels like it's gotten... She still sounds like the person that she was when she started. And like with an artist, for me, I always kind of want them to grow and evolve and become something else. Nicki to me still sounds like the only thing that matters is her titties popping, her ass being fat. We've been doing that for how many years with you now? Like,
but let me challenge that.
Well, how I want to say, Garrick, though, because the pushback to that is always like, well, we don't say that about the men, right? And that's the pushback that I've gotten from that a lot.
Which is
true. I feel that way about it's 100% true.
Yeah.
But I also, I feel that way about the men too. It kind of falls off for me after a while if the conversation that you're having is still the same thing you were talking about 20 years ago. I want for all of the artists to evolve. Beyonce is not still like crazy in love and blah, 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 blah. Like, Beyonce has evolved and is talking about something different in a different kind of way. And I mean, mind you, Beyonce is, you know, always an asterisk in every conversation. But like, I just kind of felt like when Queen came out, I was like listening to it and I was like, this is just not, this feels flat for me. And I'm not like excited by it. It feels like regurgitated to me in some ways. Like, some of it is cute and fun, but like, that is how I felt about Nicki. And then the music has just like never come back up. But I will say, like, my favorite writing from Nicki was Dear Old Nicki. I thought that that song on the Pink Print, that launched so many different ideas to me about how I wanted to interview people, because I've always thought about that song as being such an interesting analysis of who you used to be and who you've become.
The money came, yeah, tripled and quadrupled it, but I still miss us when we was just on some stupid shit. And it still fucked the media. They ridiculed you, never believed in you. They just deaded you, left you in all black. But dear old Nicki,
and I've always just wanted to interview her about that one song. And like, I would love to know how she feels about Dear Old Nicki now, right? Like in 2021, and looking at where she was at that time to where she is now compared to where she began.
Well, she probably ain't gonna give you no interview, because, you know, she got a history with the journalists, you know, and stuff like that too. So
we might catch shit for this episode, right? For having anything to say that isn't glowing. But we got to get into the COVID vaccine piece of it. Travelle, do you want to take this?
Long story short, Miss Mamas has told us a couple different times why she hasn't attended certain events that other people are at, whether it's the VMAs, whether it's, I think most recently was the Met Gala. And her reasoning for the Met Gala specifically was that you had to be vaccinated. You had to show proof of vaccination. And she is not yet, she says, vaccinated. She wants to do, quote, her own research to before she figures out whether or not she wants to do it. And then as conversation was happening on social media, she says that her cousin, was it her cousin's friend?
I'll read the tweet. It says, my cousin in Trinidad won't get the vaccine because his friend got it and became impotent. His testicles became swollen. His friend was weeks away from getting married. Now the girl called off the wedding. So just pray on it and make sure you're comfortable with your decision, not bullied.
Right.
For the record, just important to note here, there's no indication that there has ever been any link between the COVID-19 vaccine and impotence. When asked about this, Dr. Fauci said, quote, there is no evidence that it happens, nor is there any mechanistic reason to imagine that it would happen. Just wanted to clear that up.
Oh, also the health minister back in Trinidad held a whole press conference.
One of the reasons we could not respond yesterday in real time to Ms. Minaj is that we had to check and make sure that what she was claiming was either true or false. And unfortunately, we wasted so much time yesterday running down this false claim.
Yes. We talked about it on the What a Day podcast, which I host every Thursday morning. Check it out. Wow. We wanted to bring this up also because Joanne Reed, who has our show on MSNBC,
The Reed Report,
used this as an opportunity to call Nicki out. Let's play a quick clip from The Readout.
For you to use your platform to put people in the position of dying from a disease they don't have to die from, oh my God, as a fan, as a hip-hop fan, as somebody who was your fan, I'm so sad that you did that. So sad that you did that, sister. Oh my God.
Miss Nicki was not happy about that. And she went on Twitter, basically called Joanne out. Then she called her, was it Uncle Tamiana? Uncle Tamanina? Tamina? Something like that. She calling her Uncle Tom, okay, and calling her, saying it was sad and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She then reposted, what's the white man named, Jared?
The white man?
Yeah, the Fox News guy.
Oh, Tucker Carlson.
She reposted this video of Tucker Carlson being on her side, which to me should be the flag enough.
Hello! I'm on the wrong side of this one if we're on the same side. Here's the thing. I was saying to you earlier today, Travelle, that like since we've been working on this, I've been sitting thinking about it, and I read Garrick's piece. I read a piece in the LA Times as well. I'm having a tough time because this is like some full fuckery, dumb bullshit, right? We know that these things are not accurate. We know that she's now had to come back and say, oh, I'm in trouble with my cousin, which is the first thing that I actually thought was, your cousin is going to be pissed with you that you shared this, because it ain't like he got 10 friends who had the COVID vaccine, their ball swell up, and their wedding was canceled a few weeks ago. Like, that's a very narrow list of people, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you'll be in trouble for that. But the thing that is challenging for me, I want to point out that there's a lot of discussion that I've heard and had that Nicki's not getting this vaccine because of this ball situation, right? But there's indicators in her language that this is not a new idea. The vaccine has been out all year, right? This wedding seemingly happened within the last, or didn't happen in the last few weeks, and she's not gotten vaccinated all year. So it's like, it's not just about this, which really makes me think like, okay, well, what has been the reservation for her not to get the vaccine after all this time, way before this wedding situation? And I think to myself, like, okay, well, she was pregnant. She just had a baby at the top of the year. If I'm I have a newborn, I'm breastfeeding. I'm, you know, dealing with a new baby and all those kinds of things. I'm trying to make space for that. But then I also think that it's important that we remember that there is a whole anti-vaxxer machine and propaganda and all kinds of people that are working overtime to make people not believe in this vaccine. And like many of those people who are doing such things are vaccinated themselves, the former president of the United States included. I've been trying to get myself a little bit away from being so critical of people that I just think are being stupid about the vaccine because they won't get it, because like it's easy and it's fun and we have a good time with it. But I'm like, but how did you get to this being the way that you look at this situation? Because it don't make no sense to me.
All the girls talk about they want to do their own research. And I'm just like, are you conducting your own COVID vaccine trials?
Absolutely. And like, even that, though, says to me, like, she hasn't really been looking into this well, because she didn't say she's not going to get the vaccine. She says she hasn't gotten it yet, which indicates to me that like it's something she's considering but hasn't done for whatever reason. What does research look like for you, sis? How exactly is that going to work? So that's just the bit that I want to make space for when it comes to Nikki and the people who are Black folks specifically that are like questioning the vaccine.
I do want to note that the ways that she basically like sicked her audience on Joanne Reed is behavior that we've seen her do before. Garrick mentioned it a little bit earlier, the ways in which she has told her barbs to like to attack people.
Right.
I remember Jerome Trammell was a journalist a few years ago who ended up getting like super harassed and bullied. I think he was also doxxed by barbs because he gave some critique about her music and she ain't like it. Actually, he critiqued an interview. She did an interview and he was responding to something she had said in the interview and she didn't like how he responded. And so like, this isn't the first time that she's like done this type of behavior, but like, I think it just makes it hard to be a Nikki fan.
It makes her difficult to defend. One of the other things, though, that I think is important to think about with Nikki is there is a lot of confusion about the vaccine for people in the world right now, especially for folks that are already vaccinated, if we're thinking about the booster shot conversation. We've heard everything from you should get a booster to you shouldn't get a booster to the FDA said one thing and the CDC said another and the White House said a third. And so, like, I get that there is consternation for folks when it comes to the vaccine. A lot of it is rooted in misinformation and disinformation. Those two things are distinct from one another, but I think it's an important thing to remember about, like, our family members, the Black and brown folks that are disproportionately unvaccinated. I just think it's something that we have to consider in those conversations.
Garrick, what you think?
Truthfully, yes. Jared makes so many points. I don't, however, think they apply to this because I don't think there's a cousin, period. I think Nikki's a liar, if I'll be really honest about it.
Well, and that's that.
And the reason I think that you're actually a liar is because of the fact that it is a similar story that had circulated amongst WhatsApp, chain messaging, and things like that, where it's like, outside of you changing a couple different details, it's the same thing. And whether or not that's something that she created herself or someone fed to her, it is a story that does not exist. Just like,
right.
Bottom line. And I also think that that was made all the more evident when you had the Minister of Health be like, we don't have a case here, period. It's just bullshit. You know, I mean, I think to me, it's like I actually had zero judgment in terms of let me just back up for 2 seconds, because ultimately, why am I supposed to give a fuck that you're not at the Met Gala? I didn't ask. No one cared. You willingly volunteer that information as sort of a way of like a not sure, you know, but right. That's where to me, I'm just like, this feels like a distraction, because again, there was no reason for you to have this conversation with us. There had been no news story that she had to debunk that said Nikki's going to be performing or pumping down that carpet at the, what do you call it, where you had to clear it up. No. You felt the need to say it and then go into this whole thing, none of which was necessary. which is what made the entire thing confusing, which is why I know you're lying.
The last thing that I would do want to say about this specifically, though, and Garrick, you started to touch on this a little bit earlier, is the fandom around this, or like the kind of mob mentality of the anti-vax community. The mob mentality of the anti-vax community and the mob mentality of the Barbs, right? That intersection of this situation is really what's interesting to me, because it's like a two layers of a Donald Trump kind of following situation, right? Where you have a charismatic leader who can say whatever they want and people will follow them and will fight you to the death online, right? To defend said charismatic leader through whatever they said. Now, mind you, is she Donald Trump? No. But like, it is a very similar kind of feel when we look at the ways that people are just kind of like blindly following whatever she says or does. It feels a little Trump analogous to me.
Also, I think another thing that's really important to remember about the entirety of how all of that unfolded was how almost brilliant it was that instead of the criticism of, hey, this piece of information that you were passing along that is probably a made-up story, but most certainly, even if you didn't make it up and like somebody told you this, it's just not rooted in like reality of what happens with this vaccine. That got thrown aside because the entire thing was about, oh yeah, you're all trying to bully a person into getting the vaccine, which was never a thing that she was actually, I mean, she said don't be bullied, but her follow-up conversations as she was interacting with her Barbs, by the way, like that's where she's saying the things of like, yeah, when I go on tour, I'm gonna get the shot. When I do this, I'm gonna get it. Which one should I get? There was an attempt to have some level of engaging with the community, but those things got tuned out because the thing that was loudest was the mom mentality of look at all these people telling her that, you know, she needs to get this shot, which wasn't entirely true of what was happening. But she made that the case. She made it the case of then, oh, well, the White House invited me. They hadn't. Oh, Twitter, you know, suspended me. They hadn't. So there was just all these ways where she was perpetuating this thing that was happening to her, which then you get on, you know, Instagram Live and is like, well, you know, all of your favorites think like this in private and they're too afraid to say something because they don't want to get attacked, which is also probably motherfucking true. Like, if we're going to be honest about it, Nikki's not the only celebrity, the only person who is thinking this way. And that's fine. And I'm still going to 100% say, if you were looking for a celebrity to tell you to get the shot, you're a fucking idiot. Like, I don't care what you have to say at all. Like, if you need LeBron James to tell you to get the shot in order for you to do it, if that's what you require, sure. But I also think you're a fucking clown, because I know that you're not in the store reading the food label. I know that you're not looking at the Hennessy before you drink it. I know you're not at the hookah shop being like, well, what's in this hookah before I fucking have, you know, three rounds of it. You're just not doing it. So this whole thing of like research, research, research. Well, what is it, baby? Because if it's all this research that we're doing, our people wouldn't be where we are. If we're just going to say it, like, we have to deal with so much based off the fact that we have to deal with a lot of things that we are denied. And some of it can continue to be denied because we don't want to do the work to look into it. And I'm not trying to indict anybody about it, because I truly do believe, like, if you don't feel comfortable, sure, you know, you can say that. There should be a space to say that. I know that there's not a real space to say that. However, if that's what your truth is and you have every right to have that truth, stay your ass in the house, which is what Nikki had been doing. Now, I don't really know how to say that when you then have Rihanna and ASAP kicking it with y'all. Well, she's obviously seeing people. So whatever the situation is, mass, unmasked, I don't know. I'm not in her day to day. But at least how it looks like from the outside, Nikki was staying in her motherfucking house, minding her business for months, which is what made it weird that she felt the need to say it. You didn't have to say the thing and insert yourself into a conversation and then be resistant to any pushback, because yes, it is very irresponsible to have said the thing that you have said. It would have not been irresponsible for her to have just tweeted and be like, I'm undecided about which of the three, I'm gonna put up a poll, or why don't y'all tell me, you know, what kind of, what did you feel that week? Did your arm hurt? You know, did you get fatigued? That's all well and good. And I would have thought that that would have been great if she had done it. And that did happen, but it was this one particular piece that didn't have to happen. And then she curbed it with this whole thing of being bullied. So she tapped right into a conversation that she knows very well is happening, which is why I think it's a lie and it was a distraction.
And then that brings us to something that you mentioned in your piece, as and this has been, like, you know, proliferated elsewhere as well, is this idea that while we were all focused on the COVID of it all as it relates to Nicki Minaj, nobody was paying attention to this other legal situation that she now has going on with her husband, Kenneth. And the woman who accused him, who said that he raped her when they were 16. So we should say, Kenneth Petty, who is Nicki Minaj's husband, pled guilty to attempted rape when he was 16. Jennifer Huff is the name of the woman who says that he raped her. She did an interview on The Real last week, I believe, week before last, describing the violence that she experienced, as well as what she's been experiencing since then. She has filed a case, a lawsuit, saying that Kenneth and Nicki Minaj have been harassing her and trying to bribe her to recant her allegations, her accusations, etc. Now, there's a lot here. And I'm trying to figure out where I want to start, okay? We should say that this all became news because Kenneth did not register as a sex offender when they moved to California. Him registering as a sex offender was part of his deal that he cut. And so when that information became public, Nicki Minaj went on social media in the comments again, basically, you know, taking up for her husband, sharing what Jennifer has since said are untruths, lies about the facts of the situation. And so that has caused Jennifer to feel like she needed to speak up about the case and clarify things from her vantage point and perspective. And then I want to play a quick clip from the interview from The Real, in which she's speaking about a conversation that she had with Nicki and about Nicki and Kenneth's efforts to recant her story.
Sending people to negotiate numbers as far as money is concerned with family members. And Nicki is the one who personally reached out to me. She's, you know, in regards to helping them in this situation. And then the threats that I received because I kept saying no to every offer, to every suggestion. The last incident was when one of their associates put $20,000 on my lap, and I still kept saying no. The last message I received was that I should have taken the money because they're going to use that money to put on my head.
Okay, I want to encourage everybody to go watch the interview. It's like 18 minutes, 19 minutes, the full interview. You can hear in Jennifer's own words the extent of what she's experienced throughout all of this. But I guess I want to just start with you, Garrick. What were your initial reactions from that?
My reaction honestly hadn't shifted much from when I first started digging into the story, and it was, you know, it was really around kind of the things that she had said on Queen Radio, you know, specifically insinuating that this woman was white, that this woman was much older than Kenneth. So like she probably was the one who was in the wrong, you know, the insinuations that were very clear is something that I'd always wondered if this is information that she was fed, or is it a Nicki thing, you know? And I hate to say that, but that's how I've looked at her the last couple of years. You know, even we go back to the Cardi stuff, there's always a thing where it's like, yes, I know that there's the way that she feels and there's the way that she wants to protect, but there's also the story that seems to be concocted that there's holes always. So with this situation, it's really unfortunate because you actually have a woman who is trying to heal from a thing that happened to her when she was 16. You know, her and Kenneth are the same age. You know, they're in their 40s. She was minding her fucking business. But you felt the need because you did not want to have your husband register or whatever, and like we would find out, whatever the case may be. So you started to kind of like build, you know, this public perception around it, and you tried to game it in this way that could have worked if a person decided to like never say anything and then to allow this narrative to go out the way that it was going to continue to carry out with your fans. But also like my bigger takeaway from the interview on The Real more than anything else was, oh, finally people are actually trying to cover this, you know, because I think it's really interesting. You know, we've been talking about this for quite some time, but Shade Room, they're not going to touch it. All these urban blogs, they're not going to touch it because whether or not you want to say maybe they're in cahoots with Nikki or whatever the case may be, a decision was made, a very clear decision was made, especially when you then see when the harassment case came out, you really only had like New York Times and People Magazine covering it. No one else is covering it. Essence not covering it. None of the black publications are covering it. No one's music publication not covering it. XXL. Nobody's covering it. None of these places are covering it. And it's major news. And the only reason that it's major news is because you have one of the biggest artists, period, on the planet. You mean to tell me the U.S. Marshals got you on the phone calling this woman? So you have this whole case that's happening and like a very serious case as well. And it's obviously being suppressed by the media. So it does make you wonder, oh, well, is Nikki paying people off? Like, what's going on? Like, I say that to just say it's a question that I asked. It's a way that I felt when I started to see how little people were paying attention. But I also, there's the other side, too, where it's like, well, it's not a white girl that he raped. So let's just be real here. Like, you know, how much coverage was that going to get? But I do think there was something really interesting about the fact that she's finally stepping in front of TV cameras because she's kind of out of options. You have her fans doxing her. You have all this harassment. You have very little support while this is happening. Nobody's closing the door on working with Nikki. It's the same thing as R. Kelly. Nikki's still working. Nikki can still hang out with Rihanna. You know what I mean? Nobody's asking any questions. I was just like, oh, Nikki really got all the gay boys in a chokehold when she called our favorite vocalist to go on the track. I said, oh, shit, she playing dirty. You know what I mean? Like, because who are now about to say something when you got a Tamar record and Kiki Wild? Like, what are we talking about? Like, there's ways in which some of it starts to feel really concocted when you think about the day that he was pleading guilty to the failure to register as a sex offender. She's on Twitter talking about, well, I'm not going to be at the VMAs. And it's like, well, I wasn't thinking about you. You don't have music out right now. There's no really, there's no reason for you at the VMAs. And also, let's just be like honest. Like, yeah, the VMAs need Nikki, but like, if you ain't got no music out, there ain't really no reason for you to be on that stage or anything like that. So you telling us, it went back to the same thing as the Met. Why are you telling us? Why does the conversation need to be on this thing? And then you go look at people.com and you're like, oh, he pled guilty today? Ah, okay. You know, so things start to kind of make it seem like if you wanted to believe that she is doing things to distract us, there's a lot of evidence that points to that potentially being what is happening right now.
I think that's really interesting.
It's really bothersome because we're in this moment where we want to scream how loud about how much we care about women, black women especially, but how much we care about women. But it's just like, no, we can't do that. Like, y'all spent 4 or 5 days telling Drake that he's garbage for having a record where R. Kelly is playing in the background of a sample. So not even a direct sample, but y'all did this whole thing around it. But nobody's asking questions about the fact that, like, it took 30 years for some real justice for R. Kelly, while meanwhile, he worked with pretty much everybody that Aaliyah worked with. Take it how you want to take it. So, like, are we really questioning these things? We're not. But yes, we want to have this revisionist history, which I understand, because we are all implicated in a R. Kelly. We're all implicated in a Michael Jackson. We're all implicated in all these men who have been accused of very awful things and have a very long list of these accusations that were ignored by not just the industries that they were in, but by the people who consume them and by proximity, everybody who ever listens to any level of music and never was like, well, maybe now's the time. But everybody's decided that the time is now for R. Kelly. And it's easy because we're watching him be on trial. But what is there then to say about someone like Nikki who married a man who did this at 16? Granted, whatever conversations they might have had about what happened then, we're not privy to. We really are not. We don't know what's going on. We also don't know what level of work he's done on himself. We know none of these things. But what we do know is that you use your platform the same way you did with this vaccination thing to say untruths about the woman who survived this very awful thing, which, hey, he did plead guilty to. So something happened. I mean, just end of discussion. And so to have this narrative be, oh, she's wanting money. Well, no, she doesn't. You know, everything that's been pointed to is not true. And so now you have this person who was not only fighting for their life, but also fighting for their own reputation as somebody who wanted to remain anonymous. It's just like, I just want you to leave me alone. There was this video of her on social maybe a year or so ago where she's like crying because like her phone is constantly ringing and she just is like, why can't you just leave me be?
She says in the Real interview about she's been doxxed, she's had to move multiple times in the last year, she's had to change her phone number, family members have been contacted in various ways about that. I wanted to ask about what should be Nikki's like role and responsibility to her husband in this situation. Because I'm thinking of Miss Julie Chen Moonves. When Moonves was going through his whole issue.
Who only became Julie Chen Moonves in that moment, yes.
Exactly. When Moonves was going through his issue, Julie was hosting Big Brother. And literally one day she decided that instead of introducing herself as Julie Chen, which she had done for 20 some odd seasons of this show and a couple celebrity versions, then she started saying Julie Chen Moonves. And it was interpreted as her standing by her husband, you know, being a good wife, etc. And she's continued saying Julie Chen Moonves in the current seasons as well. And so I'm just thinking in my head, how do we have this conversation while also like recognizing that, you know, it's her husband and like...
And the father of her child.
And the father of her child.
I think you ask a valid question because when we were talking about this, you were like, I kind of want to know like, what is the role and responsibility to her husband? Or like, what would I do in this situation if Kenneth Petty were my partner or boyfriend or husband or whatever? I'm challenged by that because, number one, I'm a believer that nobody should be irredeemable, right? Like, everybody should be able to, like, make good. But, like, I also have to ask the question of, like, if I'm in this situation, because I don't like the thrusting onto Nikki of what she should do, but if this were me in that situation, my real barometer on how to deal with it would have a whole lot to do with how my partner talks about it. And yeah. I think about that with when I'm dating, right? So I remember being on a date with someone and he talked about his relationship with his ex and how he was upset with his ex because they were on their phone all the time and that he snatched the phone out of the boyfriend's hand and threw it across the room and shattered it. The way that he talked about that, exactly. The way that he talked about it so boldly and with pride said to me, there's not remorse about that, right? Like, that is something that you see and are proud of and the way that you continue to move about the world. But if the conversation had been that same exact instance and it was like, you know, I really made some really bad choices in my past relationship and I fucked things up and I've really been doing some work, you know, and oh, well, what happened? Well, you know, I had this anger moment and I threw a phone across the room and like it really just kind of changed things for me. If that were the conversation, it would be different. Now, applying that to this Nikki kind of situation where we have Kenneth who has all of these allegations against him, has been in prison twice, you know, these kinds of things. I'm curious about what his conversation with her has been about it. And my guess would be that there's been some bullshit and some dishonesty in that conversation because of the ways that we've seen Nikki put it out into the world, right? Or that she's then taken that information, if he did give her the right information, right? She's then taken it and spun it in a way that would be safer for her as a career person, as a person who's thinking about her career, I should say. And so that is where I kind of sit when we think about what is the role and responsibility to your husband if Julie Chen Moonves, which always feels funny to me to just say it that way, or Nicki Minaj, like, I'm really curious about what information they've gotten from the husband in that instance.
Yeah, which is why I go back to what was mentioned during the Queen Radio thing. Like, yeah, did he sit her down and was like, yeah, so this white girl who was older than me accused
right.
me. And I had right. to put it out, you know, because you know how it is for us. You know what I mean? Like, I can 1,000% see that. And it's hard. I agree with you, Jared. And so it's one of those moments of like, actually, have I ever heard him really speak that much? Not right. really. I mean, and I think the times that I have, it's not been that great. You know what I mean? I think it's just like shit talking mm-hmm. on Queen Radio or whatever. So I don't know. And I don't know what the answer to that is. But I do know part of it is most certainly not trying to bribe
right.
this woman. And
well, because even that part. Because even that part, right, if we're thinking like, well, what if Nikki got bad information, right? Yeah. Like, that kind of goes out the window when it's like, oh, but they were at my house and they put $20,000 in my lap and they've been right. calling me all the time and I've had to move. And, right. you know, it's like, okay, well, that doesn't stand up.
Jennifer says in the interview that she spoke to Nicki Minaj on the phone directly mm-hmm. and that she right. told her woman to woman, this really happened. I don't know what that man is telling you, but we weren't in a relationship. We were right. the exact same age. You know, she goes down this list of things that was put out there that was wrong, that did not happen.
I'm curious, what is your perspective on that? What is her responsibility to her husband? Because I think you had a perspective on that.
Well, yes, I was trying to keep it to myself, but...
Have you heard about doing a podcast?
I just think that I think a spouse is always in a tough position. However, I think the infraction here for me is that you're trying to bribe this woman to recant her story. That for me is where Nicki Minaj has gone wrong. You are actively participating with your husband in trying to silence this woman who experienced this. Your husband pled guilty to this. And we should know, your husband has been registering as a sex offender every single time he was supposed to. And it is only now, when he's in relationship with you, when he has moved to California with you, that he has not registered.
Yeah.
So it's for me, I think it's that part. Because, you know, it's your husband, your father, your child. You want to stand up for your man. Get it. You in love, all of that. And she's been fighting for love. You know, we've known that journey that she's been trying to do. But the moment at which you call up this woman and you say, I heard that you trying to help us out and how much money you want, we'll fly you and your family out. That is when... This is beyond just love for your husband. This is beyond just standing by your man and supporting him through this. Now you into some nefarious shit, okay? And that's where, for me, I'm done with it. Okay, we need to get up out of here. But before we go, Garrick, didn't we almost have it all in defense of Whitney Houston? Available for pre-order right now, wherever you get your wonderful, fabulous books. You also have this new newsletter, Coda. You have this new newsletter. Give people a teaser of what you got coming up, what you got going on, how they can get all of your brilliance.
Well, you know, really the way to get all this brilliance is to go pre-order this book. Period. All right. First and
link
foremost,
is in the episode description.
Link is in the episode description. And, you know, holler at me on Twitter at Garrick Kennedy.
Yes, 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 yes. Garrick is fabulous. You know, if you want to listen to him be more fabulous, go to the episode. Something about Black Singers, White Voices, or something like that. White Voices, Black Singers, something like that. It's in the archive. We'll shout it out later in the show. Garrick, thank you so much for joining us again. As always, a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have you back for the book tour.
My pleasure.
All right, coming up, we are going to get directly into our dishonorable mentions as we go to break. We'd love to know what you thought about this conversation. We want you to jump into our comments or hit us up in our mentions on Twitter and Instagram at Fanti Podcast. Make sure to use the hashtag FantiFam. Garrick has been awesome. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
For the greatest pro wrestling podcast spectacular known as Tights and Fights. A fact-dropping audio showcase that helps you understand the world of pro wrestling with a lot of love and no toxic masculinity. Featuring hosts Danielle Radford.
Time to kick butt and chew gum, and I'm all out of butts.
Lindsay Kelk.
I'm a brutal Brit and my fists were made to punch and hit.
And Hal Lublin.
I was doing the voiceover this whole time.
Hear us talk about pro wrestling's greatest triumphs and failures.
And make fun of its weekly absurdities.
On the Perfect Wrestling Podcast.
Tights and Fights. Every Saturday on Maximum Fun.
Hi, I'm Joe Firestone.
And I'm Manolo Moreno.
And we host After Game Show, a podcast where listeners submit games and we play them regardless of quality with a dozen listeners from around the world.
We've had folks call in from as far as Sweden, South Africa, and the Philippines.
Here's an example. Yesterdog, where players must sing a Beatles song but throw in the word dog and dog-related terms. Like, do you have an example, Manolo?
Yeah. Hey, dog. Dog bone.
Oh, okay. Dr. Game Show has new episodes every other Wednesday on Maximum Fun. Check us out.
Check us out.
Nice.
All right, welcome back. It is time for our dishonorable mentions. These are the stories or people that caught our attention this week that deserve a call out, either for their good or their stupid. I am going to start off here. I want to shout out the ladies at The View, specifically Anna Navarro, for a moment that she had. But first, Sunny Hostin. On Friday, you might have seen the situation happen with Kamala Harris, where she was going to be on their show. And just before walking out, they paused the show and asked Sunny Hostin and Anna Navarro to step off set. We then found out that they had tested positive for COVID and the show was really upended from there on. On Monday, they came and said that it was a false positive and both of the two were back. But I was really moved by Sunny's account of what happened to her. And she said, you know, these things have real life ramifications. And she talked about her husband, who is a surgeon, who was in surgery, who, because of the way that this was announced, was pulled out of surgery while cutting into someone. She talked about her child that was yanked out of school, the way that her son had to be notified that she had COVID and those kinds of things. But she also said that she had just given the eulogy for her parent, her in-laws who had just died from COVID, and so like how triggering it was. And I just thought that was incredibly difficult to listen to, and I couldn't imagine what it was like to go through. But then Anna Navarro brought a bit of levity when she talked about having been tweeted by Donald Trump Jr., where he had said to her, or he had said to the world more so, that, you know, Anna Navarro's COVID diagnosis is a great opportunity for us to talk about COVID-19 and obesity. Anna Navarro got back with him and said, honey, I know what I look like, but I have some other thoughts. Take a listen.
I know that when you are a dimwit with no skill or talent or significant accomplishments, living off your father's fame and name and fortune, you've got to draw attention to yourself. But baby, if you want to have a conversation about COVID and obesity, you could have had it last October. When your elderly, obese father had it, okay? Mm-hmm. So it is a legitimate conversation to have. Mm-hmm. And fortunately for you, you've got somebody in your family who you can call and discuss it with.
I thought she ate him alive, and I loved that. There's the next thing that I want to talk about has come to me from two different directions. Jennifer, one of our listeners, DM'd it to me, and then the publicist for the artist DM'd it to me or emailed it to me earlier today. There's an artist named Shad who has a brand new album out, but one of the songs specifically is called Black Averageness. This comes kind of on the heels of us having this conversation about being exceptionally Black and having to be a first and all of those things. I thought his song talking about how he just wants to be able to be average actually really, really was cool. So take a listen to that.
This is something different.
Very immediate.
Check it out. I'm one of a billion, paying the bills, man. Bills fan, live in a building. Only drama's all my children. I'm chillin'. Not broke, not rich. Only chalet that we go into is so I relate to a Fred Van Vliet. I'm like, switch, sure I miss. Bitch, you basic. Well, it is what it is. Look, I say that I'm busy. Not that busy, though. I'm no Diddy. Look at the video. Wifey work for the city. Pensions litty. Y'all should retire.
I love the song, and Shad is a new artist for me to check out. What do you think, Travell? I see your face is doing something.
Yes, he can be average if he would like to be. I'd rather not, personally, but I do fight for his right to be average.
Listen, it doesn't speak for me, but it's a cute little bop, and I enjoyed that about it. I want to give you my last honorable mention, Slayvell Anderson, as you've signed on my wall in my house twice, in the entertainment trades this week that Travell is part of a board of select people that are going to be helping the HFPA to evolve and change and become a better organization. Major asterisk on the hopefully there, because there's a lot of work to do, but you might have saw Travell's name name and that headshot with all the hair and all the trades this past week. And so congratulations, and really looking forward to what you're going to be doing there. I know you have a mountain ahead of you to climb, but congratulations. Really excited to see what you'll do.
Thank you. That's all I got.
Slap you okay. On the show. Come on.
Listen, I had to say, anyway. Okay, my two honorable mentions really quickly. First and foremost, Garrick mentioned it in our conversation. R. Kelly was found guilty. Praise the Lord. He's got a second case that he'll be facing in Chicago. So, in the name of Jesus. Secondly, I want to give a quick shout out to this web series that you all should definitely check out called For the Boys. You can access it on the YouTube channel of Slay TV, S-L-A-Y TV. The series is called For the Boys, and it's a really great web series about Black, gay, queer life. It's really interesting. Shout out to Ray Love Jr., one of our friends who is the first one who put me onto it. So there's that.
If this conversation piques your interest, we strongly encourage you to go back to one of our earlier episodes where we invited Garrick to be a part of the conversation. It is called White Singers, Black Voices. It's another really fantastic show. Garrick seems to always bring it for us. I'm realizing we'll have to keep that in mind when their book comes out, because it's going to be a really good conversation about Whitney. We want to ask y'all to leave a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. If you have a comment or suggestion about this week's show, tweet at us using Fanti Podcast, or follow us on Instagram using the same handle. Make sure to use the hashtag FantiFam.
As always, you can send us an email at fanti@maximumfun.org. If you'd like to become a financially contributing member of the Fanti Fam, you can do that at maximumfun.org/join. Our music is brought to you, as always, by the one and only Corice. That's Core.ece, wherever you get Slayworthy. The audio and our graphics are done by the folks over at Moonhouse Creative, led by Ashley Wen.
Our producers are Laura Swisher and Lorraine Witt. Oh, okay. My voice was not ready.
Burr, 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 burr.
And Lorraine Witt. Burr, 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 burr. This is a production of Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.
Well, you just said it.
Can you just shut up for a second? God damn it.
Why?